What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the program. Today, we're going to dive right back into the headlines from overnight and see where things currently stand as of this morning. And to do that, we're going to use The Independent. Headline, Idaho murders. FBI denies losing Brian Koberger as students recall him staring on Moscow campus. This article was authored by Rachel Sharp and Andrea Blanco. The FBI has denied claims that it lost Brian Koberger while he was under surveillance as a suspect in the murders of Kaylee Gonsalves, Madison Mogan, Zanaker Nodal, and Ethan Chapin. Law enforcement sources told Airmail's The Eyes of a Killer Part 2 that on December 13th, when he set off on a cross-country drive with his father from Washington State University to his family home in Pennsylvania, the surveillance team had lost him. For the next week, several alarming hours or more, Mr. Koberger had seemingly vanished, the outlet reported. However, on Thursday, an FBI spokesperson denied the account, calling it false information, which is not helpful to the case against Koberger or the American people. I mean, what do we expect the FBI to do here? Come out and just say, yep, that was us. We lost him. But it was a pretty powerful rebuke of what Mr. Bloom wrote. Now, it comes down to, who do you believe? Do you believe Mr. Bloom and the sources that he has cultivated, or do you believe the official narrative from the FBI? Idaho students recall seeing Brian Koberger staring on campus. Several students have recalled seeing Brian Koberger, a PhD student, at Washington State University on the University of Idaho campus in the weeks before the murders. Three separate students told people that they believe they saw him in the student union building, with one saying he was sitting, staring at people. It was really early in the semester, sophomore student Chelsea said. He was at the food court, drinking water, and he sat by himself. He was the type to stare. He wouldn't look away if you caught him staring, like he wanted you to notice that he was looking at you. He didn't smile, didn't nod, didn't say anything, just stared. Chelsea said that his behavior prompted her to point him out to a friend. I told my friend to not be suspicious, but to look at him, because the eye contact he was making me uncomfortable, she said. It was so weird that we ended up leaving and eating outside, because we wanted to get away from him. Another student told the outlet she recognized Mr. Koberger after his arrest, as she had seen him often around the campus, despite the fact that he did not go to U of I. Now, I've seen some people already talk about, oh, well, it's pretty convenient that they recognize him afterwards. And in my opinion, that's pretty silly. I had several people that I recognized from college that I had no idea who they were. They could have been from any other school. They could have been from a different country, and I would have had no idea. I just pass by them in the hallway all the time, and you start to recognize people, right? So if Brian Koberger was at this school quite often, and you see him all the time, there's going to be that recognition later on when there's a picture of him in the news. Another student told the outlet she recognized Mr. Koberger after his arrest, as she had seen him often around campus, despite the fact he did not go to U of I. It's not a huge school. It's like a small town, she said. So you start seeing the same face again and again. They become familiar. Like, you know that you've seen them in class or around campus. I definitely saw him more than once. He was just really quiet and really intense, staring. He made me uncomfortable. Their accounts support comments previously made by law enforcement sources to people that the suspect spent some time on the U of I campus before the November 13th killings. No connection is yet known between the suspect and the victims. So it just makes sense to me, if he was stalking them, that he would have obviously spent time on this campus as well. It's an open... Remember, this is an open campus. Anyone can walk in, walk out, go to the student union, hang out around campus. How's anyone going to know if you're a student or not? Obviously, we have to take everything with a grain of salt, but as I've said before, I feel like the people lying here and the sources that they've cultivated are decent, and I think that this is more likely than not to have occurred. FBI denies claims it lost Brian Koberger. The FBI has denied claims that it lost Brian Koberger while he was under surveillance as a suspect in the murders of Kaylee Gonsalves, Madison Mogan, Zanaker Nodal, and Ethan Chapin. Law enforcement sources told Airmail's The Eyes of a Killer, Part 2, that on December 13th, when he set out on a cross-country drive with his father from Washington State University to his family home in Pennsylvania, the surveillance team lost him. For the next several alarming hours or more, Mr. Koberger had seemingly vanished, the outlet reported. And when they talk about this surveillance operation, I'm getting visions of that Sopranos episode where they had the surveillance set up so that they can go and plant the bug down in the basement in Tony's house. So they have this whole entire elaborate surveillance operation where they're following all of the members of the family so that they know that no one's home so they can get this bug put in. And every time they talk about the surveillance on Koberger, those are the visions that I have. However, on Thursday, an FBI spokesperson denied the account, calling it false information, which is not helpful to the case against Koberger or to the American public. The FBI is aware of reports detailing alleged FBI surveillance on Idaho murder suspect Brian Koberger. The spokesperson told the New York Post, "There are anonymous sources providing false information to the media." Publishing false information attributable to anonymous sources is not helpful to the case against Koberger or to the American public, the spokesperson said. The FBI has a vested interest here to come out and say that this never occurred. Did it occur? I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know the sources that Mr. Bloom has. This very well could have all taken place, and the FBI just wants to save some face and not admit that it happened. And then on the flip side of that, Bloom could be getting fed bad information from his source. If we don't know who the source is, then there's no way to verify it or check it. So once again, it comes down to, who do you believe? And personally, it's up in the air for me. I'm not too sure which way to go here. Did it happen? It's very possible that the FBI lost surveillance. It's also very possible that Mr. Bloom is being fed bad information. It will be interesting to see how Mr. Bloom responds to these allegations that his source is wrong and that he's printing misinformation. BTK killer Dennis Rader shares sympathy for Idaho murder suspect Brian Koberger. Serial killer Dennis Rader has expressed sympathy for Brian Koberger as he awaits trial in the Idaho murders. Well, birds of a feather and all, right? And we know that Brian Koberger studied BTK, studied the killings, studied the way BTK carried himself. Considering who his professor was, Catherine Ramsland, and we did the episode previously about her work with BTK, and the BTK murders of the Otero family, very similar to what happened in Idaho. Now, obviously a little bit different, but four family members murdered, a very brazen attack, a mail home, a dog home. So a lot of similarities here. Now, I'm not saying that Brian Koberger is trying to be BTK, but there certainly were some similarities there. And as far as BTK feeling sympathy for Brian Koberger, that doesn't shock me in the least. Fellow travelers and all, right? BTK sees a little bit of himself in Brian Koberger, probably. But as vile as these serial killers are, the ones that are willing to talk to law enforcement after the fact, They're a treasure trove of information, and there has been a lot of good work done by talking to these serial killers after the fact to help and try and understand what makes that kind of mind tick. That way, we can help prevent that shit in the future. What can we expect from the preliminary hearing? Further evidence and information about the case is not expected to be made public until the preliminary hearing on June 26th. After a judge issued a gag order preventing officials from talking about the case. Behind the scenes, both sides will be conducting investigative work, examining discovery and moving the case forward, attorney Duncan Levin told The Independent, and that's exactly what's going on. They're formulating strategies right now. There's all kinds of meetings going on. Koberger's defense team is looking for whatever holes they can possibly find to try and punch some holes in the narrative that the government is putting out there. How successful they're going to be at that, I'm not too sure, but they certainly have their work cut out for them. In the preliminary hearing, the prosecution and the defense will both lay out their case in court for the first time. Witnesses will likely be called, and the defense will have the opportunity to cross-examine them. And Mr. Koberger will enter a plea on the charges. So it'll really be the kickoff point. Really get this thing underway and get the wheels of justice grinding in the direction they need to grind in. I think this case looks like it's headed to trial, Mr. Levin adding that due to the complexity of the case, it could take some time. As a case where the death penalty is on the table, it will take a long time to wind its way through the courts, and it will be a lengthy court proceeding, he said. It's not the kind of case a court regularly handles, so whether it's in 2023 is an open question. That's certainly something we have to keep in mind. After the preliminary hearing, we'll have a lot more information, but does that mean that the trial is going to crack off in 2023? It does not. Sometimes these cases take quite some time to wind their way through the system. And hopefully that's not the case here, but like Mr. Levin said, with it being so complex, I wouldn't be shocked. So we'll have to see what happens at that preliminary hearing, because as of now, we're all in a holding pattern. We don't know officially which way things are going to go. But until we get there, we'll continue trying to flesh this all out, and we'll continue to add some context to a story that is ever evolving. All right, folks, that is it for this one. All of the information that goes along with this episode can be found in the description box.